What's going on, Clipper Nation? Coming back at you.
Take two, baby.
It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. And guess what? It's Twitter Tuesday, baby.
We're live.
So we go live every single Tuesday. That's at Locked On Clips. So if you hear us answering people during the podcast, just know that could have been you.
And they exist. We're not just shouting out random people's
names. We're not losing our minds, mostly. Also, if you're ever unable to tune into a broadcast but want to ask a question, feel free to hit us up. That's at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at Locked On Clips. We'd love to hear from you and get back to you.
Come through.
So without any further ado, let's jump into this thing.
Yeah, so the first segment we're going to be talking about, there's a great article from The Athletic from Jovan Buha just about kind of some behind-the-scenes stuff of the lunacy of the Kawhi and Paul George situation. We first have to address a very pressing question, though, from a Clipperholics contributor.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Ryan Snelling. He was almost Lou Williams' least favorite journalist in the world, which would have been crazy. He wants to know, now that Shea is gone, who is the cutest Clipper?
Ooh, that's...
Who is the cutest Clipper? First of all, great question, Ryan.
That's a tricky one.
I got a dark horse answer.
Okay. I'm going to go... I guess I might go Paul George.
Oh, all right, a new guy.
Unassuming, but good looking.
Cute rookie, C-R-O-Y is what you're saying. Cute rookie of the year for the Clippers. Okay, I'm going to go, this is a bit of an out there one. Someone said Terrence Mann.
Ooh, Terrence Mann, that's a hot one.
I am going to go, I'm going Lou Will.
I think you got to go Lou Will.
I'm going Lou Will on this one. Slam cover, not included. That was very clearly not a cute look he was going for.
That was a trap.
That was a trap.
That was a straight up thirst trap.
No, but I'm going.
Hearing a lot of Mo Harkless on the screen.
A lot of Mo Harkless. A lot of PG though. I think Paul George is the right pick on that one.
I want him to grow the fro back out. Keep those big sideburns.
You know I'm on board with that.
It's a classic looking dude.
So now that we got the important stuff out of the way, we can talk about the Athletic article.
For sure.
Some fantastic insight into there. There was a really nice piece. Apparently, the Clippers front office was heartbroken to get rid of Shea.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Which makes total sense. Like that is. Yes. We're all still heartbroken, dude.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it's brutal. I can't imagine. So, the coolest part of this article was the quote from Lawrence Frank when he was on the phone with Kawhi was, "We have a deal ready with the Thunder for Paul George. We can pull the trigger right now. Are you in?"
Dang.
That is such a crazy move, dude.
Are you in?
Are you in? Just like, that's like writing a figure on a piece of paper, slipping it over type move right there.
Oh, yeah.
And... I mean, thankfully, Kawhi was in. So, like, thankfully, it worked out. But some revealing info on there. We apparently were going after Bradley Beal, which wasn't that surprising, I don't think.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, everyone was kind of chatting about that. I know we don't know a lot about the moves that we're going to do, but that seemed like a pretty, like, obvious one that everyone was like, yeah, we should do this. And it just happened we were also going for it.
Yeah.
But the most interesting one was that James Harden was a target for the Clippers.
Which this one really, really perplexes me.
Mixed bag of emotions when I heard that.
Oh, yeah.
I was initially like, oh, man, I'm bummed we missing on James Harden. But the fit seems odd to me.
Yeah.
So, like, Harden's running the whole offense, theoretically, right?
Yeah.
And then Kawhi would be...
Harden is actually untradeable.
Dude, he legitimately might be. I don't know what the asking price would have been.
So that's an interesting question, right? We already gave up the largest amount of first-round picks ever in a deal. And then to go ahead and try to get James Harden, who is, by all accounts, the tentpole of the Rockets franchise.
He's the Rockets, like, I would
he
say.
He is the Rockets. I don't really know. They have no direction. They kind of have nothing if he was gone. And I don't mean that they're, like, a bad organization or anything.
You're right.
They've tailored this team around a very specific window and a very specific superstar.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it's really worked.
Yeah,
If the Warriors didn't exist, you know, they have a chip.
100%. You're
so
right.
So I think the asking price would be 4 of our first round picks, which is the most you can give up.
Yeah.
Both Detroit second rounders, probably 4 of our second rounders.
Oh my god.
Pick swaps on every single year that we didn't already give up our pick. And I think that's really all we could get. And we'd be looking at giving up Shea and Sham.
Yeah, so for me, it was like Shea, Sham, and Gallo is who gets dealt, plus a record load of picks. That, And they say that he was that like a deal couldn't be reached, and we're not really sure if the deal couldn't be reached because the Rockets said no or because we said no.
Yeah,
you know, with Daryl Morey being the person who you're negotiating with, I mean, other than Presti, he's got to be up there with one of the toughest guys in negotiating.
He also has kind of a fetish for like superstars, so I just don't really. I don't really see that. I just don't really see that ever happening. And obviously, everybody likes superstars, but like he wants to cram as many stars as he can on the team and worry about fit later.
Mm-hmm.
As he said.
That's a literal quote from
like
Morey.
That's an actual quote. So I don't really see us being able to make that happen because I don't think they'd be looking at, oh, these are a bunch of good players that could work together to build to be something. It's just not really the way they think about.
Teams.
Yeah. So somebody asked a really interesting question on the live stream. They posed the question, are the Clips deep enough to sustain one or two injuries? Charles, why don't you kick this one off?
So injuries to who?
It is a Mac Trey bobblehead.
Yeah, 100%. If there's an injury to Paul George or Kawhi,
mm-hmm.
yes, I think we're good. If there's an injury to both at the same time, I think we're good, but I think it's touch and go.
I think that's apt.
I think it's really touch and go.
I think we could maybe hold to 500 with Paul George and Kawhi out. Maybe.
How many games are they out?
This would be if we're like firing on all cylinders. And I'm going to say it's a period of 12 games. We could maybe hold out a 500 average, just depending on the quality of teams that we're playing. But it would be very difficult, and it would also, you know, it depends on the schedule at the time, how much rest we're getting, like back to backs, anything like that is obviously going to skew those numbers. But I do think with the consistency of this team, just on a night in, night out basis, as well as just the continuity that we already have from last season, I would be pretty confident that even worst case scenario, both stars are out. We could hold our heads.
Yeah, we could tread water.
Nearly above water. Yeah.
Someone pointed out on the stream, which was a really good call, is that Doc would just run three guards again.
Yeah.
Which we probably would. And I think, yeah, two injuries, not doomed,
mm-hmm.
but definitely, I mean, obviously not a place that you want to be at. But in terms of one injury across the board, I think we're not fine because it's still an injury to somebody, but we're in better shape than last year, which is hard to say. It's pretty incredible we're in better shape than last year.
Absolutely.
Than now with the depth.
Yeah. And notably, though, we will be missing Gallo, who we did have through stretches of last year, who is a dynamic scorer. But I think that the defense will maybe be a little bit more shored up this year.
Oh, that's a really good point. Now that we don't have to have – there's no one who's like – other than Lou, there's no, I feel like, true defensive liabilities.
I think that's fair to say.
Not necessarily
depending on
pluses.
Depending on Shamit's development this year and obviously how much time Jerome Robinson would play in those situations where we're out stars.
Ooh, someone pointed out Trez on the live stream.
Don't talk about it enough.
I gotta agree with
you. We don't talk about it enough. And I think we even kind of grazed over it a little bit when we did his player breakdown. But it's one of those things that it gets...
Tricky.
It gets covered up really well because he plays against second units, mm-hmm. and also the offense of that lineup is like too
absurd, insane
for most people to try and hang. But the thing is like anytime he's matched up against like starting level guys, the defense, he becomes a net negative.
Yeah, it's just not very good. Someone's saying that they think Fee could get some time. If there's two injuries, I could actually for sure see Fee getting some time. If it's to the bigger guys in our lineup. With our center situation, that's realistically the only way he's going to see substantial time.
For sure.
It's two injuries to two big guys.
Yeah.
Someone just asked, what do we think about Trez as a center? He seems more like a power forward.
Naturally, he's like a power forward.
Size-wise.
But his skill set is that of a center. So it does make sense to, run him at the five.
Yeah, we broke down yesterday kind of what it was like when he starts. And to your point about the defense, that's where you see the drop.
Yeah.
That's where he's a driving performance. All his numbers go down when he starts.
Definitely.
And not substantially, but in terms of defense, the plus minus is way worse. So it just makes sense.
Somebody just piggybacking off of this, just to fakey. somebody asked like what the load management could be like for Kawhi and Paul George. And like luckily I've talked about this a little bit before, but we have kind of a built-in load management. Where the second unit
BILM is what it's called.
Where the second unit is strong enough that we can keep these guys' minutes low enough on a game per game basis, that hopefully that would eliminate some of the need to sit out entire games. I just
stretches
still
of
think
games too. It's just like yeah.
Yeah. I just still think that I still think that they could play 60 games. As long as they're playing right around the 60 game threshold, I don't see any way that we that we're not a top four team.
100%. I couldn't agree with more. People are on the live stream now realizing that Jermichael Green resigned, so it's good that you're realizing
Yeah, Jermichael Green is just, I mean, we talked about it being like one of the keys to the offseason. To me, that would have been the only real loss was to not re-sign Pat and Jermichael.
If we would have gotten Kawhi and Paul George, it would have been great, but there's still so many question marks if we don't shore up Jermichael's contract.
For sure.
Like, there's still some big, we can go small with him. Someone yesterday was talking to me on Twitter about how they don't think they'll ever see Kawhi or Paul George at the four. Because they don't usually play the four. And I disagreed because if we go small with Green at the five, we could see one of those guys at the four.
So the reason...
Not for a bunch of time.
Like, the reason I would disagree with this... I mean, I'm agreeing with your point, but, like, disagreeing with them not playing the four is that, like, offensively, both these guys can handle the ball pretty well. They can both, you know, cut. They can play off ball, on ball. So I think that in that... Like, on the offense, positions kind of disappear in this lineup.
For sure.
With the exception of like Zubats or Trez, who have kind of more defined roles, and the true point guards. But yeah, as I said, either one of these guys can kind of handle the ball. On the defensive end, I would say that either one of these guys can play the four. I mean, Kawhi Leonard guarded Giannis through the Eastern Conference Finals.
Look, if Pat Bev is guarding LeBron James, these guys can play literally any position.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
But so. Yeah, and it was mostly, I wasn't saying that, like, consistently they'll be at the four, but a small ball lineup of, I don't know, Lou, Bev, Paul George, Kawhi, Green, disgusting.
To me, that's not even a small ball lineup, that's a skilled lineup.
Yeah, that's fair. That's the Pequeno lineup, maybe.
Yeah.
Guys, coming up after this, we're going to be getting to your fantastic Twitter questions. Thank you for tuning in. Before that, I want to give a quick shout-out to the Himalaya app.
Yeah.
If you're not watching us live, you might be listening to us on there now. What's the saying?
You know, with the Himalaya app, you can summit the mountain of pod.
Welcome back to Twitter Tuesdays. Himalaya app, you got to cut us a check for that promo.
We're getting a lot of questions about Andre Iguodala, so I feel like we should address that.
Oh, really? What do they want to know?
Would we make a trade?
No.
I don't think so.
I guess this is more of a question for the live stream audience and for you. Who would you trade for Iguodala? Realistically, in your brain, on this roster, who are you letting go for Andre Iguodala?
That's a really good question. For me, personally, no one.
A Detroit second-round pick?
No trade, yeah.
Yeah,
I would give up second-round picks, and I think that that would be the extent of it.
100%. You can't give up everything. So we're in that weird time. Last year, we had the issue with the logjam of development.
Yep.
Now we're kind of at a weird time where... And we say this having not seen people play, haven't seen the full roster together. No one is what some people would say bad on the team.
Yeah.
There are no players that are bad or washed or whatever derogatory term you want to use for older NBA players. No one on this team, to me, is worse than Iguodala in terms of development, in terms of current play. It just doesn't make sense to trade him.
I don't know. Two-way play, I mean... I don't know. I wouldn't make a trade for him. If he got bought out, obviously that'd be a great pickup.
100%. I'm all for the buyout.
But yeah, I don't really even see us being able to put enough together to really trade. Someone's saying they wouldn't even want to see us give up a second rounder, which I kind of would be inclined to agree with. You know, especially giving away so many picks, it's every little piece is going to be kind of valuable moving forward, especially when. You know, Shamit gets that rookie max extension, which you know is coming.
You know it's coming. And Trez's contract.
Yeah.
Trez's contract is coming, guys.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about it because we've got a full year left, but I'm freaked out. Like, I'm a little freaked out.
The only thing that really goes in our favor is that he does play predominantly second unit minutes. And getting, like, I don't think you're throwing the bag at Trez without Lou Will. Personally.
Yeah.
I just don't really see it unless you have another guard who you think would play really well with Trez.
Yeah. Because we already paid Lou Will his extra year. I'm worried because Trez might just get a loony offer from someone else.
Yeah.
The Knicks just signed every power forward. They might need another one in a couple years.
That's true.
And they're going to have money because no one is going there.
That's true. Someone on the live stream is asking about trading for like a guard like Chris Dunn. I'm not really a big fan of Chris Dunn's game. It hasn't even worked out in Chicago, and they're not a good team.
And he was given a lot of responsibility. Like,
yeah,
he was told to do his thing in Chicago.
Yeah.
I do like, someone pointed out, I'm assuming it was the same Chris Dunn fan, about how Bev mentoring Chris Dunn might be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. I don't know. I just don't see him, like,
Of the future. That would be a thing if they were, like, all in on Chris Dunn being with the team for an extended period, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like that's in the plan.
I guess I just don't see him raising the ceiling over some other guards that we have on the lineup.
Yeah.
Even some of the younger guys.
I was going to say, even Terrence Mann, if someone's bringing up.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather have him develop than give Chris Dunn time.
I agree.
Covington, okay, the live stream and Twitter has been popping with Covington getting traded.
I love Covington.
I love Covington, too.
I don't think they give him up.
Everyone loves Covington.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks, but, you know, let's give our young guys some time. Chenny John sent us this question. Shout out Chenny John. Which current player who was on the team last season will need to make the biggest adjustment for the upcoming season with the additions of Leonard George and, to a lesser extent, Harkis? First of all, great question, Chenny John. Who do you think?
That's an interesting one. I would guess... Well, I guess it's kind of two players. I think that Shamet is going to be one of the guys who's going to have to make an adjustment, especially initially. I don't think he's going to be getting the number of touches that he normally would,
no.
Which I don't think is going to be an issue for him. He played in that star-studded Philly,
yeah.
That star-studded Philly cast where he didn't, you know, he played second unit minutes. He didn't really get a whole lot of time. So I think that he already has the skill set where you can kind of plug him in and he's ready to go.
Yeah.
I honestly think Lou Will is going to have some adjustments to make. In lineups where they have him playing with George and Kawhi, because you have a lot of guys who can be, they don't have to be ball dominant, but like they need to be on the ball more.
And should be, and sometimes too.
While Lou's assist rate has gone up in the last two consecutive seasons, a lot of those assists have been solely to Trez. I think that's going to be an adjustment too, like learning to trust and look for these other guys and kind of just running, and it's going to be on Doc too, but just like kind of running sets where we can take what was good about this team and elevate it with two extra players versus like just trying to run the same thing on into the wall.
Yeah. I think I was going to say Shamet too. He's just going to get less minutes. There's less touches.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a thing unless, you know, Doc messed with the lineup or something like that.
And, I mean, Pat Bev as a distributor is going to be an interesting look, too, because, you know, he can do it. He has the skill set, but he generally would defer on the point duties to Shea.
Yeah, which, just even hearing Shea's name bums me out. I think Lou's a really good pick. I think Trez, too.
Mm-hmm.
When Trez, it's kind of the same situation with Lou. When Lou and Trez are out there, it was the Lou and Trez show.
Yep.
You know where the ball's going. It was effective as hell. We all loved it. But Lou, Trez, and Paul George, it's way more versatile.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, you can't trap everybody. There's going to be at least one elite scorer open at all times on that lineup if you trap. But the touches are going to be less. We theoretically could see maybe a more efficient pick and roll because there's going to be less touches.
I think
which would be exciting. But I think this also leads into the question of, are they going to be able to adjust too? And I have 100% confidence in the fact that our guys who need to adjust are going to be totally fine.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? There's no drama queens. There's nothing that's going to, like, get in the way.
No, these are perfect guys to make adjustments. I mean, so many guys have been here for long enough that they've already bought in. Patrick Beverly. You know, Lou Williams has spoken very publicly about, like...
He didn't want to lift weights.
Yeah. And how he has bought in on this system, and, you know, he doesn't regret it, and he's able to do his thing while still being... a part of the team and a part of this unit. So,
Clipper Cam had a good question too, which is a nice follow up. Do you see Kawhi liking the fact that so many of our players are hype men? We scream and shout like no other team he has been on before, while Kawhi is the complete opposite on the court. I know he chose us for a reason, but any thoughts? I think he blocks it all out.
Fair.
I think he's a guy, I think maybe he enjoys it, but I don't think it's anything that truly affects his game.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't seem like someone. It just doesn't seem like it would be a turn off or necessarily maybe a plus. Because the Raptors crowd, I know it's not players,
yeah,
but their crowd is crazy. Mm-hmm. And Drake is essentially on the bench.
I mean, I don't know.
In terms of hype.
I don't know how it can't affect you in a positive way.
Yeah.
I just, like, even as a human being, I think, like, we all crave some sort of, like, affirmation or...
we're getting deep. We're getting locked on existentialism right now, bro.
And, I mean, I just don't see any way that, like, even subconsciously that doesn't affect you in a positive way. I don't think it would be something that would annoy him.
No.
I think that we might even get to see a little bit more trash talking Kawhi come out. We might get to go back to some Boardman gets paid. We might get to go back to some.
I would love it
to some
Kawhi,
just friendly kind of trash talk,
dude. I would love it if Kawhi just turns into Kawhi just turns into a heel.
Yeah,
like a good like a
heel. I mean, that's not gonna happen, but no. I love the idea.
Like not a true heel, but a guy who's like kind of a prick, mm-hmm. but it's always justified and kind of
confidence.
Like Popovich.
Yeah, it's confidence.
Like how Popovich is kind of a dickhead.
Yeah.
But he's so funny and quick and smart and good at what he does that you're like, I'm fine with this.
I actually think that Paul George is going to benefit the most from the hype men thing.
He seems to be more into like that, I feel like.
Well, and the thing is like Indiana have always had like good egoless kind of squads. In my opinion, those Pacers teams.
You can't have an ego in Indiana.
And I think that he enjoyed playing with Westbrook. But I do think there's no denying that there's a different kind of locker room vibe in that. Like, you know, because.
For sure. No, I totally agree. I'm thinking how funny it is the difference between the Indiana locker room and Paul George's there.
Oh, yeah. And then OKC. Because if you look at that OKC locker room, I mean, that started with three young dudes that all got drafted, and it was broken up pretty immediately after like a whiff of success, and I think that's one of those things that hangs around in a locker room, because then there's this old thing of like the old guard versus new guys.
Definitely.
That are brought in. And I think that, you know, I think that having a more kind of hype man mentality, I think that Paul George is going to respond really positively.
Yeah, and I think Lou's vibe is perfect for Kawhi.
Oh,
Lou
100%.
Is the
100%. That's a great point.
If we loved Bev, Lou, and Trez together on the podium, Bev, Lou, Trez, and Kawhi on the podium is going to be amazing.
I think
Lou's going to be able. What was the quote about Lou? He doesn't say much, but when he says something, it's either really funny or really serious.
Yeah,
that's just like Kawhi.
Definitely.
In terms of how he speaks, I think we're going to see some kindred spirits, kind of, with Kawhi and Lou Williams. I think there's going to be some good presser moments, and that's just going to make the play so much better.
For sure.
Like, between those two especially.
For sure.
Coming up after this quick break, we're doing just more questions from you guys.
Yep.
Someone asked on the live stream what Steve Ballmer is going to wear to the press conference tomorrow. I have an idea what he's going to wear.
Okay.
An untucked shirt.
Wow.
He's going Clippers casual.
Gotta go Clippers
casual.
It's
going to be
baby.
Untuck it, but he's going to tuck it in.
Yeah.
Because he's a professional man. One more time, shout out untucked shirts. So welcome to the, you know, more Twitter questions.
So we've got a couple questions about jerseys throughout this, so I want to touch on those first.
We have to. Let's let it fly.
So first off, somebody asked what we thought of the OKC jerseys. I think this is pretty easy. Trash.
Yeah, so I don't like the main one. I really like the Oklahoma City bombing commemorative one.
Mm-hmm.
That one's really great. It's very tasteful. That memorial is fascinating and heartbreaking if you've ever been to it. But overall, bad.
Yeah.
It's not a good color scheme.
Dude, they don't really ever have good jerseys.
It looks like...
I'm sorry. They've never really looked good.
Do you remember when you would play the high school that had more money and so their jerseys looked nicer?
Yep.
It looks like that team's jerseys.
Yep.
Where you're like, these are nice, but these are still high school jerseys.
It's like white trash fancy.
It is white trash fancy, which... It is Oklahoma.
People are making some hullabaloo on the live stream about Lakers fans burning Clippers jerseys on Twitter.
Who
That's
cares?
Hilarious.
Burn it, man.
I love that you would buy a jersey for the purpose of burning it. You know, you have more disposable income than me, apparently, so
here's what we should do. If we're going to do something in return, how about we just donate a bunch of clothes? You know, let's buy some Lakers jerseys. Don't even do a clothing drive or something.
Oh, somebody's saying now it was an old youth shirt. All right, get out of here then. You're broke and you're and you're clearly stupid too.
For the Clippers jerseys, I was going back and forth with @StepBackTree on Twitter. If he's watching, what's up? If you're watching now, go ahead and follow him. He was wondering, are we going to get a Buffalo Braves homage?
Okay.
And just what are we going to do with the jerseys next year? Because we have a bunch of extra ones. We're probably going to have a Christmas Day jersey.
Yes, I would really bet that we get a Christmas Day jersey this year.
We get the earned jersey. Which are
very
hit or miss.
Like, all of them have not been that good yet, in my opinion.
And then we'll also get another city edition.
Yeah.
So that's minimum 5 jerseys that we're going to have. The earned jerseys are specifically, like, they try and tie the past in with the present.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where we're going to see the Buffalo Braves stuff. Maybe in a red.
Okay.
Because the current Clippers color was the red or something like that.
Yeah.
What designs do you want to see?
Yeah, I think that's a good one. The Braves would be cool because it's like and just an interesting part of NBA history to me.
Yeah.
That, you know, a franchise for franchise swap happened.
It's not talked about enough, dude.
It's like one of the most. It's like
it's crazy.
I never really knew that full story until we started doing this podcast. So that was like one of those. It's like one of those moments that I'll be like I'm really excited to have done as a fan. So I think those would be cool. I do think just going back to the classic kind of. Nautical, like San Diego Clippers jerseys would be nice. Especially, like, I want to see the script change on the jerseys. I hate the current one.
I'm a fan of this. Just the classic old school Los Angeles script.
I'm good with that, too.
I'm not mad at that.
It's fine. I think that they could do something a little bit better.
Someone's commenting that we don't have any all red jerseys. That might be an earned jersey area.
I don't know. I don't know if I want all red.
I'm psyched on the jersey, though. I hope we do well. I need to get my City Edition from last year.
Definitely.
Those just should have
been. Those were the best. I think that those were some of the best since the last rebrand.
Yeah. We got a great question from @got_cash with a K. Great username.
Damn.
Do we see Kawhi and Paul George staying
should
from...
Should be got Kush. Sorry.
Got Kush, got cash. Do you see Kawhi and Paul George staying for more than 2 years? Why do you think Kawhi only signed a 3-year deal as opposed to a 4-year deal?
So
the second part, I think, is an easy answer.
Yeah.
Financial flexibility.
Yeah. So the Kawhi thing, 3-year deal there's a player option on the third year. He's definitely going to opt out. He'll just have 10 years of service at the end of those 2 years.
Contract. They're both eligible for the super duper Ultramax at the exact same time. The Dragon Ball Ultramax, if you will.
Yeah.
At the exact same time.
Yeah.
So they can kind of negotiate if a team has space for both. Maybe the Clippers do. You can just get both of them again.
100%. And then Paul George, I mean, so if one of these two stars bolt, I would bet more on Kawhi than Paul George.
I would too, mostly because we have no idea what Kawhi thinks.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no other reason.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that he'll for sure leave or anything, but if one of them was to leave, I just don't know. Yeah, I don't know what he thinks. I don't know what he wants.
Paul George seems home, so I feel like, honestly, if Paul George leaves, it would left in whatever 2 years. It would maybe be to another California team, or he's just going to stay with the Clips.
Yeah.
He seems very excited to be home compared to Kawhi. And I only say that because we don't know what Kawhi feels. I don't say that as, like, Kawhi doesn't seem happy type thing.
Yeah. It's just hard to read.
And I do see... I think I see Paul George staying for more than 2 years more so than I do Kawhi.
Yeah.
For sure. Tomorrow it's going to be interesting to see just the vibe at the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try and be at the press conference. Information is scarce right now.
Yeah.
As to where it's at.
Oh, also just one last thing on that last point.
Yeah, go for it, bro.
In terms of these like 2-year contracts and worrying, I think that it really doesn't matter. We've seen
it's
that
the new trend.
We've seen that the years on a contract don't matter. If a player wants a trade or they want to bolt, they're going to bolt. And there's kind of little you can do. We're a little bit more immune to that, just being in a big market.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter if it's a 2-year deal or a 4-year deal or a 10-year deal. I mean, you could I think we're going to start seeing it more and more, especially with these younger guys like your Devin Bookers or your Karl Anthony Towns who sign these rookie extensions,
yeah.
The max rookie extensions, and then they're going to be like, oh, shit, nothing's happening
here. This did
here.
Not work
like,
out.
I'm getting out. I live in
Phoenix?
Yeah, like, I want out.
Losing his mind. And... This just is the new normal. Picking a time to pair up with your superstar, buddy, is how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And back to your younger guy point, super teams exist now at every single level of basketball.
Yeah.
LeBron's kid is on a high school super team that they specifically formed so they could crush in high school. And then you do the same thing on AAU. All of these guys play together almost year-round.
Yep.
And if you're a top recruit, you're playing with your same class year-round for, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Because you're all at that same level. So you're going to see teams formed earlier than college, maybe.
Oh, yeah,
in terms
for sure.
of team wants and stuff like that.
I think what we saw this year with the Duke team, we could start seeing more of that, where, like, all these recruits, they're like, well, why don't we start playing together in college, and then if it works out, we can demand trades at the end of our rookie contracts.
Yeah, we only got a year. Like, we only have a year in college anyway.
Yeah.
Who cares? Let's just try and go for it.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah,
so
I think that answered the question.
Sorry to segue onto that.
No problem at all. We got one more quick one.
Yep.
What does Zoo have to do this year to really cement him as the starting center in terms of ability? Great question.
That is a great question.
I think he needs to be able to not be... I mentioned earlier off top that no one is a defensive liability. I retract that statement and add the caveat in the regular season.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, I want to see Zoo, and I guess this is hard because it's going to take all season to really figure this out.
Definitely.
I want to see him be defensively ready to not get played off the floor.
Yeah. So he a lot of times will have, when he's locked in, like, he contests everything. Even if he's not always getting the stop, man.
He will
he's,
try.
He's trying. He's not afraid to get baptized on a dunk or something, which, honestly, you love to see it.
Yeah,
you
dude.
Love to see
you love to see someone going for it.
So I think on the flip side, though, is it's like that same old thing. It's like the DeAndre Jordan thing. It's like a sometimes Trez thing. If they make a couple of mistakes, they're not locked in anymore. They stop trying.
He spins around a bunch. He's always lost.
He'll get caught like just gazing at the ball. I don't know. I think that defensively, that's a good one. Me, more than anything, is you know, his field goal percentage was actually decent on paper, but watching him, man, the touch needs to improve.
He missed a bunch
the
of
touch
shots on the rim.
Needs to improve, especially because that's just great. That's just another great offensive weapon that we have. Not only can teams not trap, but we, you know, if we have a strong presence down low, that's just another one of those things.
And this is where I go in terms of that extra roster spot. I would love to see Gasol on the team.
Oh yeah,
for this last spot, just to help
somebody
Zoo
to mentor,
out.
And then obviously the assist rate. And Doc is really confident that he's going to be able to get that up. I'm not. I don't know, but
I'm not against him being able to get it up. Mm-hmm. But I'm quasi skeptical. I'm
against skeptical him he more. Can get it up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying Pau Gasol, not a Mark Gasol by now.
Yeah.
That about wraps it up for our Trigger Tuesdays. We're going to hang out on the stream a little bit with you guys.
Yep.
On BS tomorrow. We're going to have a What Could Have Been Wednesday for you. Mm-hmm. There is the introductory press conference.
Yeah.
For Kawhi and Paul George. We're going to try and make it there. We're going to do our absolute best.
If we know where it is, we'll be there.
We will be there. Thank you guys for tuning in. Shout out hotels.com. If you need a place to stay and you're in a new city, check out hotels.com. Don't stay in Airbnb. We're going to be... Just thanks for tuning in to all the new people.
Absolutely.
Rate, subscribe. Guys, I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.